decide to expand upon some truths and thoughts. And we're back in Romans chapter number 16. If you want to look there, we'll get there in just a moment. Romans chapter number 1 is where we'll begin our reading. If you want to stand with me, and we'll read our text verses one more time, and we'll give you what the Lord has laid upon our heart. The Bible said, Romans chapter number 1, the Apostle Paul beginning this letter and this epistle to the church at Rome said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts, to the end you may be established. Keep that phrase in mind, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now look in Romans, those are the opening verses of Romans. Look in the closing verses of Romans, chapter 16, and in verse number 25. The Bible said, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God, I love how Paul concludes this letter in this writing, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. And Paul got a little carried away. He said, amen, right there. All right? Amen. You can be seated this evening. Heavenly Father, thank you for another privilege and opportunity to come in the house of the Lord. Thank you tonight, Lord, for this good gathering, the good songs we've sung. And Lord, the song the Jones family just sang in leading our hearts to meditate upon a better day. Lord, a day where it's going to be worth it all. Lord, some days we wonder, some days we're anxious about it. But Father, Lord, deep down inside of our heart and our soul, we believe by faith one of these days it will be worth it all. And what a day that'll be. Help us keep our eyes upon it. And Lord, until then, even tonight in this service, help us, Lord, to be faithful, Lord, in the life that you've saved us to live. Help us now as we try to preach. Give us unction and power, clarity of thought, Lord, not with the wisdom of men, but by the wisdom of Almighty God. I pray you'd give us something tonight, Lord, to help us and to help the church and to help us as children of God. Lord, to be able to be established and established in the things of God. Ground us, so God, we pray. Lord, challenge us, and Lord, most of all, change our direction. And Lord, I pray, may it be to your honor and to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The book of Romans, what a book that it is. And in light of the subject matter, the Lord's laid on our hearts some time ago to preach concerning the gospel. We find it very fitting that the book of Romans would be where many of our thoughts have come from. For in the book of Romans, the word gospel, as Paul would use it in reference to, amen, that message that Christ came, died on an old rugged cross, was buried, and rose again. is used over 13 times in the 16 chapters. That's more than any other epistle Paul would write in, any other writing to any other church that Paul would sit down and write to. Amen. More times in the book of Romans, Paul references what we know to be the gospel. Now, we understand that in the book of Romans, Romans 1 through 5 deals with doctrine. It deals with what we believe and how important we understand those doctrinal truths to be concerning our redemption and justification and the salvation that has been afforded to you and I through Jesus Christ our Lord. We understand in chapters number 6 through 16, it deals with our duty. And there Paul begins to embark upon our Christian life and our practical daily living. How that, my friend, there are duties that we as children of God, amen, have not just a list of rules and obligations, but in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a way that our life should look in this world in which we live. And so Paul spends the majority of the book of Romans dealing with the duty or the behavior of the children of God. And we understand as we come here to the book of Romans in chapter number 16, and Paul references here as he closes this out and brings this thing to an end. He deals with the fact in verse number 16, chapter 16, verse 25, he said, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel." And so 13 times he's referenced it. They're no stranger to, amen, this matter of the gospel and what Paul is speaking about. And Paul said the same gospel I told you about in chapter 1. That is the power of God unto salvation is the same gospel that, amen, presides for your establishing. And this word establish, he would use the word establish in chapter number 1. It means to set fast or fix firmly, to be steadfast in mind, to confirm or to strengthen. And literally, the definition we kind of focused in on is that the gospel here, Paul said, that can establish you, it is to turn resolutely in a certain direction. And so we're living our Christian life in the world, no longer of the world. And it is the gospel that saved us that establishing our life in the direction that the Lord Jesus would have you and I to live in. You see, since we got saved and experienced the power of God unto salvation, amen, that gospel now sets the course for our life. Amen, we're no longer headed in the same direction we were when we were sinners. Amen, we're not on the road to hell. We're not in the path of sin. Amen, we're not headed down a road of destruction. Amen, but our lives are to be lived in a very distinct and certain direction. Amen, and so we've made the statement in weeks gone by. Amen, as we have dealt with the power of the gospel and the preaching of the gospel, we're dealing with now the presiding of the gospel. Amen, the gospel did not begin and end the day we got saved. Amen, the gospel has an ongoing work. And so we made this statement, and it's contrary to the gospel to want it and receive it to save your soul, but to not change your life. Amen, the gospel day by day ought to be changing our life. Amen, it ought to be ordering our steps. It ought to be setting our direction. Amen, it is the gospel that, amen, the gospel of the life and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ, amen, that continues to work in us, changing our life from day to day, conforming us into the very image of the Lord Jesus. And so we consider that Paul states in this closing chapter, amen, that it is the gospel that is to establish us in our walk with God. I've already referenced this, but let me say it again, making our way through our notes, that is the gospel not only provides for our salvation, but it presides for our establishing. Amen. If you got saved, and my friend, if you got saved, it was the gospel that, amen, brought the power of salvation to your life. Amen. But since you've been saved, the gospel scene presides there, and it ought to be growing, and it ought to be thriving, and it is presiding there. Amen. Grounding your life and growing your life. And may we say, going your life, amen, for the cause of Christ. Amen. We find here that the presiding power of the gospel has three things attached to it. We find in the closing verses that we read in Romans 16, we looked at the person. Amen. The person, when we consider the presiding power of the gospel, amen, our attention is drawn to the person that is Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul said, now to him that is in power to establish you according to my gospel. And so it is Christ who is applying, my friend, by his power, the power of the gospel, amen, that grows you and I, the person, when we see the preaching. Amen. Paul said, amen, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Amen. The importance of preaching, not the preaching of men and the preaching of opinions, but, amen, the magnifying of preaching Jesus Christ and the doctrines established by him and in him and through him. And so preaching tonight is what brings the gospel alive. Amen. In the heart of the child of God, it is preaching. Amen. Here's the way, walk in it. Amen. And the gospel bears a witness with real Bible preaching. Amen. The real preaching of Christ in a holy life. And my friend, leads you and I to tap into that presiding power of the gospel. Amen. In verses number 16 and 17. Amen. We noted the praise that is attached to this presiding of the gospel. Amen. You see that, my friend, we've not always had the gospel as Gentiles. There's a time we was wayward, a time we were strangers and foreigners. Amen. To the true religion. Amen. But thank God that one day, amen, the gospel came to where we were. Amen. Was preached to you and I in our sin. Amen. And the Holy Ghost shed the light, and we sing the glorious light of the gospel. Amen. And we had obedience of faith to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. And Paul said, in light of that, somebody ought to praise the only wise God. Amen. Somebody ought to bless his name forever and forever. Amen. Realizing that, amen, what you got when you got saved, that will sustain you. Amen. From that day until the day you go to glory, amen, is because of the grace of God. Amen. And so the person and the preaching and the praise. And so in light of the book of Romans and the theme of the gospel, and the fact that the majority of this letter, amen, is dealing with our Christian duty, amen, we can back up all the way to chapter number 6, I'm sure, and begin to preach and expound about, amen, how the gospel affects our life from day to day. Amen. How the gospel relates to you and I as the children of God. But if we backed up to chapter number 6, we'd be here till the millennial kingdom. Amen. Telling it all right? And so we've limited ourselves just to chapter number 16. And the Lord shared with me and showed me three truths that, amen, I'll be honest with you, it's about all we could probably handle anyway. Amen. If I got in chapter 6, 7, and 8, amen, we'd all, amen, realize how backslid we really were. Amen. When it comes to this matter of the gospel. And so just confining ourselves into chapter number 16, why does the gospel preside? Amen. What is the gospel directing our life into? Amen. What direction is the gospel leading you and I in as it relates to our Christian life and our church life? Amen. Number one, we said in verses 1 through 18 quickly. I ain't re-preaching all this. I got to get this last point and be done with this. Amen. But the gospel presides for our disbursement of goodwill. Our disbursement of goodwill. In verses 1 through 18, Paul deals with our personal lives and relationship as it relates to the household of faith. And throughout this text and these verses, Paul is going to demonstrate, amen, what it is to have a disbursement of goodwill, what it is to really appreciate and love those that are of the household of faith. And so we looked at the camaraderie of our goodwill in verses 1 through 15. As Paul mentions many believers, men and women, beneath, he salutes them and greets them and commends them as though he is telling them, you are important to the work of God. He is showing the camaraderie that they have one with another. These are people that had been faithful. These are not wishy-washy, carnal, flip-flopping children of God. These are not carnally minded folk who could not be trusted. These are people, Paul would commend, that they had, as it were, laid their very necks down on the line for God's man and for God's word. Men and women who had been faithful and steadfast and had proven they can be trusted in, my friend, the worst of situations. And so Paul shares in this matter of our disbursement of goodwill, the camaraderie of our goodwill. I'm glad we're not in it all alone. And by the way, let me remind all of us, amen, we are not God's gift to anything. Amen, we're just a small part in a big work. Amen, and it ought to be our privilege to say, amen, I get to be numbered among the people of God. Amen, amen. No big I's and little U's in the work of God. Amen, a camaraderie of our goodwill. Amen, we've seen the compassion in our goodwill, verse 16. Amen, he said, salute one another. After Paul illustrates his thought, he then tells him, salute one another with an holy kiss. And the churches of Christ salute you. And so what he's saying is, demonstrate your love. Amen. Now we as Gentiles and in Newport and Collin County, amen, we ain't starting this lovey-dovey kissing everybody, amen, kind of religion. Amen, amen. We're not doing it. And you say, well, preacher, that's what the book said. Amen. Ain't that like carnal people? They won't listen to other stuff. Amen. When they get a chance, go kissing everybody. They won't apply it. Amen. Amen. Somebody do this right here. Amen. Amen. I could get mean right there, but amen, we understand that really what Paul is saying is, amen, make sure you are demonstrating your compassion. Amen. Make sure the work of God knows that, amen, you love it and that you are attached to it. And gives the caution for our goodwill in verses 17. And in verse number 18, warning them about folk who would cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. And Paul said, your obligation is to mark them and to avoid them, lest you become deceived and led away by their good words and fair speeches. And so there's a caution for our goodwill. Amen, amen. We ought to be loving people. Amen. But anybody who would seek to divide the work of God and, my friend, destroy that concerning doctrinal truths and the direction of the church and the things a man of God has taught to you from the pulpit, from the Word of God. Amen. Not his own opinion, but when he is line upon line and precept upon precept, amen, delivered unto you the doctrine that Christ has for the church. Amen, listen. Amen, there is no room for, amen, for division to be sold, amen, against those devices of discord. And so there is a caution for our goodwill. A gospel presides for our disbursement discernment of goodwill. Amen. Number two, prayer discernment of good. Amen. One verse there in verse number 19. Amen. And it kind of links back to verse 17 and 18. We've kind of isolated it and kind of enlarging upon it. There Paul said, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And so Paul said, you got a good name. Amen. Paul said, everybody knows about the faith of those in the church in Rome. Amen. Your faith is spread abroad. Your commitment and your growth, everybody talks about in the camp meetings. That's all the apostles want to talk about. Have you heard what God's done in the people in Rome? Amen. All the other churches, all they think about is, boy, we want to live up to the example the church in Rome has set. Amen. And oh, what a church it must have been. Paul said, don't you ever forget that you've never arrived and the gospel will lead your life. Amen. To discern the good. Amen. Be wise to the good and simple concerning evil. Amen. Having a discernment through a gospel-centered mind, a gospel-directed life. Amen. A discernment that can see what is good and what is evil. You know, the Word of God warns about, amen, a generation that would come on the scene. Amen. And the things that are evil, men will call good. And things God said were good, men would call evil. And my friend, we're living in that day. We're living in that generation. And my friend, the lines in God is marked and been blurred. And the world has never understood. And I'm not preaching the world tonight. Amen. I'm preaching to the church and those, amen, that have that presiding and residing in the gospel in our life. Amen. We ought to be able to have a discernment, amen, by the gospel that lets us know what the good is. Amen. My mind's blown all the time about the thing, about the time I think, man, can't nobody shock me. I hear, amen, some folk, amen, their lack of discernment is absolutely stunning. Amen. Absolutely stunning. Amen. And Paul warns about that. Amen. The gospel presides for our disbursement of goodwill and our discernment of good. Let me give you the last point. Amen. In 13 minutes and I'll be done. All right. Amen. Notice with me in verses 20 through 24. Boy, this is good. Amen. Are y'all with me tonight? Amen. That's all. Amen. That's about 20 minutes of refreshing our mind. Amen. About what God's already given us. So hang with me for a minute tonight. Amen. The gospel presides, number three, for our development in grace. Our development in grace. Amen. In verses number 20 and verse number 24. In the end of verse number 20, here's what Paul said. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And then he goes down and we'll look at it in a moment. There's a list of eight men that are named. And then Paul comes back to that same thought in verse 24 and says again, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And so it would seem to me that Paul is saying that there is a development of grace, amen, that is applied to our life, a direction where, amen, we are being developed in grace, amen, by the power of the gospel in our life. Amen. May I say this evening real quickly, thank God for grace. I'm aware tonight that when I got saved the way anybody's ever been saved, God saved. Amen. By finding grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm thankful tonight for the grace of God. I'm grateful tonight. Amen. That grace saved me and grace settled my fear. And grace has established my life. Amen. And grace, my friend, works for, amen, for me. We understand that one of the truths in the Christian life is this, that we are to be growing in the grace of God. We're to be growing in the grace of God. Amen. Now listen, when you got saved, it was all about grace. And now that you are saved and you're trying to live for God, amen, may I remind you, it's going to be all about grace. Amen. Paul said this to Titus. He said, the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Amen. It appeared unto all men. And I'm thankful, amen, for grace this evening. Amen. He said, now that grace ain't grace. Amen. It's not just to make you feel good. Amen. Grace is not that it's become in our day. Amen. A mere license to sin, a license to do anything you want to do. A grace that Matthew would deny of the Lord Jesus Christ and His power in our life. Amen. To have victory over sin, Paul said, I tell you what, that grace that bringeth salvation that appeared unto all men does. Amen. It teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldliness. And that, friend, shows us how to live for God. Amen. Grace, my friend, this hyper-grace crowd in our day. I know I've been preaching on them a lot, Brother Jerry, but they need preached against a lot. Amen. They have watered down grace. Amen. Grace has become nothing more than, amen, their free pass out of sin. Amen. Their free pass to live any old way they want to. Amen. But grace in the Word of God, thank God for it. Amen. And there is an aspect of grace that, amen, one of us wouldn't be in trouble if there wasn't grace. Amen. When we had failures, and I'm not downplaying that. Amen. But it's high time the Church of the Living God gets back. Amen. To preach in the other side of grace. Amen. Grace not to forgive your sin, but grace to give you victory over sin. Amen. How to get out of worldliness and ungodliness. Said, amen. Friend, quit living in lust. Said, amen. Paul said, amen. Oh, I want you to be established. Said, unto him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel. It is there. He's working. Preaching has been given. Amen. To help you be developed in grace. Amen. Amen. Well, how could we break this down in these verses? Let me give it to you this way. Are y'all with me? Number one, there is grace for triumph. There is grace for triumph. That's what the gospel does in our life. Sets us on a course that our spiritual lives are developed in grace for triumph. Amen. Notice what Paul said in verse number 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Amen. Can I remind you, as I think Paul does here, amen, that we have a great adversary. Amen. What a nemesis the old devil is. Amen. Satan and the deceiver, the liar, the trickster. Amen. Our adversary, the dragon. Amen. The foe of the children of God. Amen. Oh, how he longs for our demise. As we preach this morning, he longs for our destruction. He longs to see our spiritual lives suffer. Amen. He longs, my friend, to see us defeated. Amen. But you know what grace does? Amen. Grace looks beyond all his fiery darts. And grace looks beyond all the wiles of the devil. And grace develops you and I, amen, into a life of triumph and a life of victory. Amen. So it can be said of our life, amen, the devil can't make us do anything. Amen. The devil, my friend, can't do anything to us. Amen. That has not first pass through the will of God. Amen. And Paul said, amen, you live in your victory and you live in your triumph. You have it. Amen. Not in yourself, not because you become some mighty child of God, but because grace is developing your life. Amen. To give you the mentality of a victor and one that is more than a conqueror. Amen. Longing for the day. Amen. Where the Lord lets Satan be bruised under our feet. Amen, that day is coming. That day is coming today. Amen, it is grace that supplies our victory. Amen, as we're developed in grace, growing in grace, being established by the gospel in this matter of grace. Amen, we learn where our victory comes from. Amen, I'm not leaning on me, and I ain't leaning on you. Amen, I'm leaning on the grace of God. It's the grace of God that supplies my victory. A wonder Paul said after he said, amen, oh God, the God of peace, amen, shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you, amen. You know what he's saying, Brother Jake? He's saying it'll be the grace of God. Amen, if you live for God in these uncertain days, amen, if you live for God at the very gates of hell, amen, friend, it'll be by the grace of God, amen, that you're able to stand and have triumph. Amen. Grace for triumph. Amen. I like how Paul worded this. And the God of peace. Amen. Look back in chapter 15, verse 33. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. And I say, I'm glad I know the God of peace. Amen. The devil, what's the devil do? Amen. The devil brings turmoil. And the devil brings trouble. And the devil makes an uproar. And the devil tries to make you feel unsettled. Amen. But I'm glad grace reminds us that we have a God of peace. Amen. In those most troubling times, and hell is raging the most fierce way it ever can, I'm glad we can rest in the God of peace. And the grace of God teaches you and I, amen, that we can trust our God. Amen, we can trust our God. A preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. I have no idea how I'm going to make it. Amen, I do. I know the only way you're going to make it is the only way we've made it thus far. Amen, is that the God of our peace. Amen, is on our side. Amen, and he supplies through that peace a spirit of victory. Grace, grace, what grace tonight. Grace for triumph. Grace for triumph. You got any of that tonight? Amen, I'll be honest, in these last days, amen, there is a uptick. I won't get back on it like we did this morning, but there's an uptick in these days of demonic activity. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. In the days of Christ, when Christ came on the scene, Brother Jerry, there was an uptick of demonic activity. I'm not saying it wasn't around before the days of Christ, but you look at how many demons Christ had to encounter, and there's a reason for that. They knew who the Son of God was. Amen, and held through everything they could at Christ in that generation. I believe with all my heart, amen, the gates of hell understand that Christ is soon to come again. Amen, and there's been an uptick in demonic activity. Amen, a troubling of our soul, a troubling of our faith. Amen, I'm telling you, and you can say what you want. Amen, these last 18 months of COVID and the political scene and shutdowns and all of these things we're bombarded with. My friend, the devil has used that to discourage even the children of God. We're losing our minds. Amen. And I think we need to be reminded, amen, in this hour that the gospel is residing in us and develops us in grace. And I don't know what Fauci's going to do. I don't know what President Biden's going to decide. I don't know what direction the states are going to go. Amen. But I do know this. I still am in touch with the God of peace. Amen. I know this. And if I will allow grace, amen, grace will be for my triumph. Amen. Grace for triumph. Number two, grace for teamwork. Grace for teamwork. Notice here in verse number 21, Paul has just said, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you, amen. And then Paul gives a list of 8 different men from different backgrounds, different social standings, different ministries, came from even different churches, yet he links all them together into the gospel ministry. Oh Lord, help me preach this out. Grace for teamwork. Amen. May I say, just getting this ball rolling tonight. Amen. You know what it's going to take for you and I. Amen. To pull the rope in the same direction. It takes the grace of God bringing us together. Amen. Listen. Amen. We all come from different backgrounds. And outside of the gospel and outside of the grace of God and outside of the work of my friend Jesus Christ and the ministry of this church. Amen. We probably wouldn't even stand one another in a lot of scenes and scenarios. Amen. We wouldn't like each other. Amen. But you know what brings the work of God together? It is the gospel on the inside that develops you and I in a grace for teamwork. Amen. Let me show you something here this evening. And my 13 minutes is already done. 13 more minutes and I'll be done. All right? Amen. May I say tonight, amen, in this list of men that Paul gives, amen, let me run through it real quick. I'll draw out some observations and make a point. And then we'll be done here in just a moment. Amen. You say, preacher, has the gospel developed in grace for teamwork? Amen. Look at the very first man that Paul mentions in verse number 21. Timotheus, my work fellow. If you know anything about Timotheus, amen, that is Paul's son in the faith. Amen. That young man that, amen, evidently in his young days, he's called Timothy. And when he got a little hair on his face, he became Timotheus. Amen. And it said, man that had a very special place in the heart of the Apostle Paul. Let me show you a couple verses here, if you will, in the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. Amen. Listen to what Paul said about Timothy. Amen. As we consider this matter, the presiding gospel. Amen. In Philippians 2 and in verse number 19, Paul said, the church at Philippi, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you. And I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Amen. Paul said, I tell you about this man. He is like-minded with me. I can trust him to stand in front of you. I can trust him that he will. When he speaks, it will be as though I am speaking. He has been linked to heart and soul and mind. To me, your man of God, a man who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know, watch this now, you know the proof of him. Amen. In other words, he said he's poured this out. He has proven some things about, amen, his attachment to being teamwork, amen, with the ministry of Paul. Amen. That as a son with the Father, notice this, he has served with me in the gospel. Amen. Paul said it's the gospel, amen, that has brought us together. Amen. I personally believe that Paul likely was the preacher, amen, that carried the gospel to Timothy's little town. Amen. That it was likely Paul, amen, who was preaching when Timothy got saved. Amen. And from that day, the gospel having saved Timothy had also saved Paul. And my friend, the grace of God brought them together in a teamwork so that Paul said he is a like-minded man. Amen. It's as though a son and a father, amen, are laboring in the field together. Amen. And Paul said we serve with each other in the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 3:2, Paul makes this statement. He says here, amen, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. To what? To establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. And so when Paul speaks of Timothy, amen, there is grace for teamwork. Amen. Can we say this about Timothy? Amen. Timothy is a preacher. There's a preacher that the gospel is developed in grace to be in teamwork with the Apostle Paul. Amen. Amen. Lucius, look there back in Romans 16. I got to hurry or we'll need another 13 minutes here. Amen. Lucius. Amen. Lucius or Lucius or however you want to say it. Amen. There's a man by this name in Acts chapter number 13 who is of those prophets that laid hands on Paul and Barnabas and sent them out. And he is Lucius of Cyrene. And there's debate. Is that the same man? We do not know. Some and most believe, and this is how I'll preach it tonight, and this is likely as Paul would call Timothy Timotheus in this text. So he would use another name for Luke, his fellow companion who traveled with the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, my friend, throughout their missionary journeys. And so possibly here is a reference to Luke the physician, a faithful companion of Paul. Amen. In Colossians 4:14, Paul called it, amen, a beloved physician. Amen. When you began to read and study what Paul would say to Timothy, as Paul's days were drawing nigh, he began to write about different individuals. And he said he would make statements like, Demas hath forsaken me. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. And in the list of all these that have departed from Paul, amen, right in the midst of all living, Paul said, only Luke is with me. Amen. And Luke, my friend, proved to be true blue. He proved to be faithful. Amen. Oh, what a man Luke was to the heart of the Apostle Paul. Had God, by the gospel, had developed Luke in a spirit of grace, whereby Luke attached himself in teamwork, amen, to give the gospel out. And so Timothy is a preacher, and Luke is a doctor. And then we come, I'll use two men here, Jaseth and Sosipater, amen, my kinsmen salute you. It's believed that these two men were friends in the faith. And Jason, you'll find, was one of the first converts in Thessalonica and had been assaulted for the gospel's sake and for his stand with the man of God. He assaulted Jason because, amen, he sided with Paul in Thessalonica. And not only assaulted him, the Bible said in Acts 17, and they assaulted his house. Amen, that city and that crowd that, amen, did not like the man of God and his stand in the gospel. Amen, sought to take the life of Paul. Amen, but Jason stood up and said, you ain't gonna get him over my dead body yet. And my friend Jason, amen, faced persecution and was even run out of his own town for his stand, amen, for the gospel. Amen, you'll find that when Paul left Thessalonica, he went to a neighboring city called Berea. In Berea, Paul preached and sinners got saved. He was there approximately 21 days. And one of the greatest churches, you won't read much about, amen, but my opinion, one of the greatest churches Paul would ever start, amen, was those believers in Berea. You'll read in Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 4, there is a reference to this man, Sosipater, amen, that he was a man from Berea. You know what the Holy Ghost said, had Luke say about, amen, those believers in the church of Berea, and said these were more noble of they than Thessalonica, and that they received the word of God as it was the word of God and searched the scriptures daily. Amen, whether those things were so. Amen, they were students of the book. They were men that my friend applied themselves. Amen, not just to hang on to what the preacher said, but to take what the preacher said and ingrained it into their own heart and into their own life. They were true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And Paul kind of links these two men together. Amen. Jason and Sosipater. Amen. He calls them kinsmen. Amen. Many believe that. Amen. Many believe that they are linked together because, amen, both men have been persecuted for their faith. And both men had a strong stand with the man of God. Amen. So much so that when Paul referenced him in this text, he said, they are my kinsmen. Amen. They become like family to me. Amen. He's saying, I can put my life in their hands. Amen. I can trust them. Amen. That grace has been developed in their life. Amen. Paul is saying, we've got grace. Amen. For teamwork. And so we got a preacher and we got a doctor and we got two kinsmen. Amen. Notice the next man, Tortillas. Amen. Sound like something you'd buy at the Taco Bell tonight. Amen. On your way home. Amen. Tortillas. Amen. The Bible said here of him, I got to hurry. I had Tortillas who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Amen. And so we find here, amen, this man was a penman for the correspondence. And Paul would dictate his letters to for legible writing. I know that Paul had some eyesight issues and he couldn't write real well, and that he would oftentimes dictate his writings, amen, to other men who would pen them. And so could we say here we have in this fellow, amen, a development of grace for teamwork. He's a secretary. Amen. Evidently he's an educated man. Amen. He ain't like some hillbilly up in the mountains somewhere. And I sure ain't throwing off on him, but he can read and write. Amen. And do it in a legible way. Amen. And God took this man, educated, amen, and developed him for teamwork by grace of being involved in the work of the gospel. And then the next man's a man by the name of Gaius. Amen. Gaius was one of two converts that Paul baptized in Corinth. Amen. Paul would testify in 1 Corinthians 1:14. Amen. That he only recalled baptizing two men, Crispus and Gaius, in the church at Corinth. And Gaius, my friend, evidently had been converted, amen, under the ministry of Paul, baptized by Paul, and evidently, according to Romans 16, appears to me to be a man of wealth and means, as when Paul speaks of him, he says this, amen, he said, Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church. He is a man that is hosting, putting up, and entertaining large gatherings of people. Amen. So I wrote this down. I just like this word because you don't get to use it preaching. But Gaius was a mogul. Amen. A businessman. He was a successful businessman. God had blessed him with the ability to make money and means and have wealth, and yet the gospel reached him where he was and saved him, and grace developed in his life to bring him into a teamwork, into the ministry. Y'all hang on, I'm going somewhere. Amen. Erastus is the next man mentioned. And Paul references him as a chamberlain. A chamberlain, simply if you'll study it out, would seem to reference that Erastus had a treasury position of a local political office. Amen. He was a politician. Imagine that. Amen. Imagine that. God has saved a politician. Amen. The gospel has reached even a politician. Amen. A treasurer. A man in local government has been born again and rescued by the gospel. How grace has developed in his life. And now he is mentioned in this list of eight men. And Paul said, we have a teamwork together. Amen. So we got a preacher, a doctor, we have kinsmen, we have a secretary, we have a mogul, and a politician. And then notice the last one. You say, preacher, I don't fit in any of those. Watch this here. Amen. And Quartus, a brother. And Quartus, a brother. Amen. And so Quartus, amen, all we know about this man is that Paul sent greetings on his behalf in this single verse and called him a brother, that is a brother in Christ. You know what Quartus simply is? He's just your Christian. He's just a man that when Paul looks at his life, he doesn't seem, Brother Gerald, to have any kind of preeminence or prominence. But the Apostle Paul included him in the same list as doctors and politicians and wealthy businessmen. Said, I tell you what I like and appreciate about Quartus. He's a brother. Amen. He is a brother in Christ. Amen. And can I say tonight, amen, you may be a preacher. Amen. You may be a doctor. You may be a politician. You may be, amen, a kinsman. You may be, amen, you may be some of these things. Amen. But my point is simply this. Ain't it amazing that the gospel had reached in all these different areas of society and saved them and birthed them in the family of God and Brother Jerry brought them together. And when Paul is talking about his ministry. Amen. Paul is saying the grace of God, that grace that I want in you has been working in us. And these men have so many backgrounds so many things that wouldn't even put them in the same, amen, venues in society. Grace. The gospel has brought them together and grace has developed them. That no matter what their background is, they have teamwork. Teamwork, they say, makes the dream work. Is that right? Can I say, amen, and we'll back up to what Paul began there in verse 20 about the devil. The devil would long to divide us. The devil would love getting us pulling the rope in opposite directions. Do you know what the gospel does? You know what Jesus desires and preaching is designed to do? Is to get us all developed in grace. It gets us all pulling the rope in the same direction. Teamwork. Teamwork. Amen. Everybody okay? It's grace for triumph. I don't know if that made a lick of sense. Grace for teamwork. Can I give you the third one? This is good now. It sounds like Paul's being redundant, but he adds one small three-letter word that is huge. And I call this development of grace for trouble. Notice what Paul said. He said in verse number 20, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you personally, individually, be with you. Amen. He comes to the end of verse 24 and he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. Amen. Now we know this, Brother Mike, King James Bible don't make any mistakes. Amen. All is there on purpose. Amen. It would seem to me in my study that Paul is saying there is grace not only for you as an individual for triumph and to bring you into teamwork, but there is grace for the church as a whole for trouble. Wouldn't church be amazing if we never had any trouble? Nobody likes trouble. Nobody likes trouble. But guess what? We're people, and guess what people seem to cause? Trouble. So, oh, not me. Well, you're a people too. You, amen, are trouble like the rest of us. Anybody here tonight could cause trouble. Trouble can come against the church through people. It can come through just satanic forces dividing the work of God. It can come in financial ways, spiritual ways. It can come in relationships. It can come a multitude of faceted ways. Guess what? For 2,000 years, there ain't ever been a church of the Lord Jesus Christ to exist that didn't experience seasons of trouble. Preacher, what's the use then? The use is there is grace. There is grace for the trouble. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. Can I say in these days of trouble, I don't talk with a lot of preachers. Amen. And there's some reasons for that. I have a few that I talk to from time to time. Amen. So why don't you talk to preachers much? Because preachers will depress you more than anybody. Amen. But what preachers I have talked to in recent days, I don't know of one who ain't got some sort of trouble in their church. Amen. So, preacher, what's the answer? Well, it's not to bellyache and gripe and talk about it. The answer is anchor into the grace of God. And let grace develop the church, because I've been through enough church trouble, amen, to know as a church member and as a pastor, to know when they come through the other side of the trouble, if a church will allow the grace of God to develop them, they will come out better, they will come out stronger, they will come out more rejoicing on the other side of the trouble. But you got to let grace develop you in the trouble. Amen. I don't like trouble. I don't either. Amen. The older I get, I'll be honest, the more frustrated I get with it. Amen. And it ain't just church. Amen. We're off the radio now. Amen. I can get personal with you. Amen. Amen. It ain't just church. I don't know if it's just I've been through so much junk and dealing with stupid people, or that I'm getting older and I'm just getting crankier. Amen. Me and Sam was up in Morristown the other day, and I just kind of eased my truck, pulled in the cookout restaurant. The next thing I know, there's a boy coming around the corner honking his horn and, amen, giving me the one-finger salute and cursing and going on. You say, oh, you surely prayed for him, preacher. No. I put my truck in park, opened my door, and stood up and gave him hands and said, you want to go? You say, you're a preacher. You ought not do that. Y'all pray for me. I know when he seen how big I was, he put his truck in drive and got on up the road. Say, what would you have done? I don't know what I'd have done. In the moment, I'd have beat him in Jesus' name. I took his middle finger and I'd have snapped it and sent him to the emergency room. You say, oh, preacher, you shouldn't be that way. Amen. Pray for me. What I'm trying to tell you is I don't like trouble no more than you do from nobody. I'm going to tell you something. Paul said there's grace for you all. You know what Calvary Baptist Tabernacle needs tonight? Needs to be developed in the grace of God. There's grace for trouble. We've been through some trouble. Been through a lot of trouble. Amen. Preacher, when's it going to be over? I don't know. Maybe definitely when Jesus comes, hopefully before then. Trouble. There's grace, Brother Mike. There's grace for those that anchor in and stay and tap into the gospel that's presiding in their life and realize it's the gospel that is what brings us together. There are days we got to work through differences. Sure there are. You can't tell me them men, all eight of them men, you can't get eight men together and they always agree 100% of the time on something. There's probably some days, amen, they all sit down and maybe somebody, and they just have to say, you know what, let's just pray on it. Let's just pray about it. Amen. And you know what that does? That gospel kicks in and just leads them along and gives you grace for trouble. Amen. I believe that's right. Amen. The presiding of the gospel. I'm done.